The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the show. I am here. Dave, the intrepid producer, is here. Michael Coover producing the show today. And normally this is when I jump on and do the blog and tell you all the important things that you need to know. But we have an important guest today, and he's got stuff to do. So joining us right out of the chute, and by the way, I misspelled chute on the blog. I'll fix that in just a minute. Thank you, Chris, for pointing that out. Dave Logan, in the big chair, we're talking about a great book for Father's Day. It's Dave Logan's new book, If These Walls Could Talk, Denver Broncos, Story from the Denver Broncos Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box. Dave Logan, welcome to my show for a change.
What's up, Mandy? How are you? I'm
well. You look good, Dave. I like the beard.
I was going to say as do you, but I couldn't say you look good when you capped it with I like the beard. So thank you.
Well, if you were a little closer to me right now, you could see my menopause beard that I'm developing quite nicely.
There are
15-year-old boys who are jealous of what I have going on right now.
That happens from time to time.
Yeah, that's not...
That just happens.
Yeah. Somebody says, how old are you? I'm like, I'm old enough to have tweezers in my purse at all times just for that emergency hair that pops up.
You know, men don't have to worry about that because we get hair in certain places and we cannot deal with it with tweezers. I'll leave it at that.
Well,
but tweezers are not sufficient in a man's world.
If you were ambitious enough, you could deal with it with tweezers, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
You know, Dave, we were supposed to have you on the show when your book first came out. Your mom passed away, and I'm very sorry about that.
Thank you.
And I thought now is the perfect time to reschedule this conversation because Father's Day is right around the corner, and everybody reaches a point with their dad when the perfect gift becomes a book. A book about submarines, a book about, you know, aircraft of some sort, whatever your dad's into.
Right.
But your book is perfect for a football fan and especially a Broncos fan. But I think your book would be fine for anybody, regardless of what team they were rooting for, because you give so much inside kind of worldview of the of how everything comes together. When you started this, was that your intention? What was the intention behind this book?
You know, to tell you the truth, Mandy, I don't even know what the intention was. I was approached about writing this book. I had pretty much decided that I would never write a book, and I'm quite certain I will not do an autobiography. But this, I was approached initially, you know, didn't really appeal to me. But then looking back in that, you know, people talked about, hey, just talk about some of the stories that you've encountered, some of the stories you're aware of in 30. I mean, this upcoming season will be 32 years calling Broncos games. And then I had a chance to work with Arnie Stapleton, who's one of the guys that I really respect in this business. He's been very good, writes for AP. And so what we did basically was over the course of several months was just sit down and talk about stories that I had encountered covering the Broncos, and Arnie's stories, some of those stories as well in his coverage of the Broncos. So I think the book is Bronco fans, I think, would enjoy it. They probably would hear, I don't know, two or three stories, maybe three or four that they had not heard before in terms of things that happened to me over the course of 31 years.
Well, I mean, Dave, this is, and I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's intended.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that. I don't know.
This is the perfect book for the crapper because it can be consumed in small doses. You don't have to worry about losing your place in the storyline because it is anecdotal. It's all just different anecdotes and different stories about individual things. So this is the perfect book that you can put it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up. It's just a really easy read. And the guy that you worked with did a fine job in making you seem very smart about stuff.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah,
bless your heart.
Yeah.
So nice to talk with you on your show. I think that Bronco fans will, I mean, my hope is they'll find it interesting. It's a light read, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you're not going to, I mean, there aren't stories in there. There are a couple stories that I could not put in, but I tried to put enough stories that had happened over the years that people would say, wow, you know what? I mean, I never knew that. I mean, there was a story when we were covering Super Bowl 32, the first time the Broncos won a Super Bowl, and we're out in San Diego the week before the game, And of course, my duties back then and still today, I do a quarterback show and I do a head coach's show. And those shows normally are taped on Friday, and the shows play in the pregame show prior to Sunday's game. So we had knocked out Mike Shanahan's show, and Mike was ever so diplomatic, and he talked about how good the Packers were, and so that I expected that. And then when we did John's show, and we're taping this in the lobby of the hotel that we're staying at in San Diego on Friday prior to the game, and so we're sitting there with curtains sort of draping off our area so that mere mortals can't stop there and say, here's John Elway. But in that interview that we conducted, 2 3-minute segments, I thought John came as close as I can ever remember, except for Joe Namath back in 69, of guaranteeing a victory.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was...
You can't do that. You cannot do that. I don't even play football. You can't put that kind of information on the other team's, locker room.
It just doesn't normally happen. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. And he didn't say, I guarantee it, but he stopped just short. He was very confident that the Broncos could line up and play with the Packers. And I just thought, man, oh, man, I have just walked into maybe the best interview that I've ever done in my life. So I thank John. Hey, appreciate that. We'll come back with more on the Denver Broncos Network. So he gets up. We dap each other. He walks off to the players' lounge. I'm like, fellas, am I like out of my mind, or was that like not the best interview you've ever heard? And the producer, I mean, was fired up. Everybody was fired up except my engineer, who had this blank look in sort of a pale countenance, looking at the board and fiddling with something. And, I don't fiddle with something. So I'm like, Kenny, you good? He goes, yeah.
He didn't get it.
He said, I don't think we got the interview. I'm like, which portion of the interview? Like the whole thing. And so I'm like, oh no. I mean, I haven't been flabbergasted too many times in my life. I didn't know what to say at that point. So Don Martin, who is the producer, who now works out in L.A., walks up, here's what's going on. He looks at me and goes, well, that's not very good. You got to go back and get him to come out of the lounge. I said, I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. He said, that's the only chance we got to get the interview. So we exchanged, differing ideas at that point. And then I said, okay. So I walk back in the players' lounge. I'm somebody now, even as an ex-player, I don't like to go in the locker room. I don't like to infringe upon a player's sanctuary because I know what that means, right? So these guys are back there and Elway's playing, I think, pinball with his teammates. And so I walk back in and he looks up and he goes, "What's up, dude?" I said, "Hey," and I qualified it by saying, "You don't have to do this if you don't want to. It's okay, but we didn't get the interview," and His response was, I can't even say it on the radio, but I got about, 11, 12 seconds worth of expletives about what are you effing kidding me? I said, dude, you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
And so he looked like through my entire skull, like out the back of my head, and glared at me and said, I'll do it. I said, well, I appreciate it. So we walk over, and to his credit, Mandy, it might not have been quite as good, but it was pretty damn good. He had replicated, which is, as you know, that is hard to do
and make it sound natural.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But he did it, and it still was a really good pregame show, but it was a very, very uncomfortable moment for me.
Well, Dave, you've worn a lot of hats around the game. I mean, you've gone from player to professional player to high school coach. You've had incredibly high level of success at all of those arenas. Do you find it easy to put on a different cap? Because what you just said about, here I am, I'm a former player, I don't want to walk in to the players' lounge and infringe on this.
Yeah.
I think that I've been to Super Bowls and I've seen the way that former players, not broadcasting former players, but former players interact. And that is still very much their world,
yep.
When they're there to hang out and have
right.
fun. How do you make that switch? How do you just say, okay, now I have my broadcaster hat on, or now I have my high school football coach on? Is that easy to shift for you?
Well, I mean, it's in terms of the broadcasting part of it, I know how hard the game is. Now, these guys are making a lot of money, right? I mean, they're making tons of money, and I get that. And it's very hard for people to sort of relate to players today because of the amount of money they're making. I also think that free agency has hurt that ability because guys are not staying with one team right. nearly as long as they did back when I played. That said, I just have great respect for the game and players and coaches. And so I know there are times in my job that I'm going to have to ask a question to a coach that I may really like, to a coach that I have a personal relationship with. But I also have an obligation to ask questions after a game and let that coach answer in terms of, hey, tell me why this happened or why did you do this at this particular time? Same thing with players. And for the most part, I think if you phrase the questions the right way, the player is gonna be okay with that. The thing that I don't like today in the media, I think there are too many gotcha journalists, too many gotcha members of the media that like try to entice a player to say something that they then can use on their show and cut up the tape and then say, man, you should have heard what so-and-so said today. Well, really, it's because you asked a dumbass question and you did it on purpose and you did it simply to further your brand. I don't like that kind of journalism or broadcasting coverage. I really dislike it and always have.
Do you think that's helped you in your relationship with the players and the coaches? Do you think that they get that from you? And it 'cause I've talked to football players who have really disliked their broadcast team for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
And you can tell when they're interviewing, it's a very contentious, you know, short answers. Do you think that having that background and being a former player yet respecting the differences between the two is helpful in that way?
I think what I hope is that I've earned the respect of coaches and players in some regard as being somebody who's fair. I don't potshot guys. I'm going to tell the truth. If a question has to be asked, I'll ask it, but I might phrase it in a different way than somebody who is has a different agenda might phrase that. And I think, you know, I played such a long time ago. A lot of these dudes that play in the NFL now don't even, I mean, they know me here in Denver as the play-by-play voice of the Broncos, but I'm quite certain that many of them don't know that I ever played the game, right? Somebody may have to tell them that, and that wouldn't be me. But I think it's just the respect I have for the game and the belief I have of how great the game is, and it's a very difficult game to play, and it's a difficult game to coach. And so with that in mind, that's how I sort of come at my broadcasting responsibilities with respect to interviews with players and or coaches.
To that point, Dave has a question that kind of springboards off the different roles.
Actually, you've had a tremendous playing career, Dave. You're a highly successful high school football coach, a championship winner several times. You've been broadcasting for 30 years, won all sorts of awards. Of all of those roles that you've had, which would you say, and can you say, give you the most personal satisfaction?
Wow. I mean, they're all different for sure. I mean, I loved competing as an athlete. I learned early in my life, I was fortunate to have two really good parents that didn't force me to do anything, but encouraged me and were supportive of whatever I wanted to do. I loved all three sports, football, basketball, baseball. Couldn't wait when one season ended, like the next day I'm ready to go. But I've learned early in my life that, I mean, the most successful people that I've ever been around are the most competitive people. People that are driven, people that grind, people that want to that embrace the process, and you know, just don't worry about what happens at the end. It's how you prepare to get to the end. Those are the things that I really gravitate to. But I would say this. I loved my time in the NFL as a player. It was in a different era. There wasn't a lot of money made. Right, my first year salary was $30,000. My
Ooh,
fourth,
big money.
My fourth year salary was $51,000, and I caught 60 balls for like at 1,000 yards and made $51,000. But you know, back in the day, I thought I was the richest guy in the world.
Exactly.
I really did.
You were rolling around in your new Trans Am.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What you were doing back in the 70s.
And I really. By the way, it was a Chrysler Cordoba with rich
Corinthian
leather.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's
you
right.
Know that too, Ricardo Montalban.
Exactly.
I've enjoyed the play-by-play part of my career. I mean, former players, generally speaking, do not get opportunities to be the play-by-play voice. You are pretty much pigeonholed into the color analyst, which I started for the first 6 years of my career, worked with Larry Zimmer, but then I got the opportunity. I couldn't really believe it when they came to me and said, hey, we want you to do this next year. I'm like, wow, really? And so I looked at that then. I still look at it as an honor to do that, and I look at it, I take it very seriously because, again, I feel like I'm sort of holding up former players in that regard because we don't get that opportunity too much. And obviously, I'm very, you know, I'm very passionate about the high school coaching. I think there's so many life lessons you can, you know, you can teach kids, and just to work with kids, I think, keeps you young. And I've done that. I've been a head coach for 28 years. So I enjoy basically everything I do, to tell you the truth.
I have a
question.
Just
one quick question.
Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah.
Just one quick. I know you're a big Yankee fan.
Yep.
Dave. And
come on, Mandy.
Yeah, do you have any idea how much Yankee talk I have to deal with on a regular basis, Dave?
Your husband loves the Yankees?
No, neither of us. I'm a former AL East Tampa Bay Ray fan before I moved out here.
Okay.
So I have a special deep hatred for the Yankee organization.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. Go ahead.
But my question is, I've always been curious, what if Dave Logan had taken up baseball? Now, you were drafted by the Cincinnati Reds.
Yep.
And you wanted to do your college thing at CU.
Yep.
But had you been drafted by the New York Yankees, would it have been any different?
No, even though I grew up a Yankees fan. I mean, we didn't have baseball here. We had Triple-A baseball during my youth. But, I mean, here's the reason. Back, you know, we drove around in covered wagons to show you how long ago that was. So back in those days, if you signed a professional contract in high school to go play Major League Baseball, you were ineligible to play any sport in college. And so we'd sent letters to all the teams and said, listen, I'm going to college. I'm going to play football and basketball and maybe baseball, but I'm going to play football and basketball for sure. So, no, even had the Yankees drafted me, I would not have signed. You're confident enough to think, you know what, had I chosen baseball, could I have made a team? I'd like to think so. I got drafted as a shortstop, but I was a pitcher. I threw low 90s in high school. I needed a lot of work for sure.
You could have been another Otani pitching and playing at the same time.
Well, listen, that would have been good. Yankees were pretty good back in the mid 70s. So
yeah, they don't suck now. I don't know if you've noticed. They're not horrible.
They're getting
right
better.
Now.
They were off to a horrible start, but they're playing better.
Dave Logan's book, If These Walls Could Talk, Denver Broncos, Stories from the Denver Broncos Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box, is a very, very good book. It's very entertaining. Easy reading, great gift for Father's Day. I have one more question for you, Dave, since we're running late here and I know you have to go.
Yep.
Is there anything you're not good at? Anything? Give me ballroom
cricket.
Dancing.
I've heard you're
something.
Not a great cricket player.
Oh, God, he would crush a cricket ball.
Yeah,
Are you kidding me?
I've never played cricket.
Yeah.
I played trombone in the band. I don't think I was very good in high school.
That just gives the rest of us hope.
I was fourth chair, and there were four chairs.
So you would not have been Tommy Dorsey.
No, I was not Tommy Dorsey or Jimmy Dorsey, either one.
Dave Logan, I appreciate you taking the time out today.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mandy. Appreciate you having me.
We'll see you later as we cross like ships in the night in the studio.
How about bowling?
Dave Logan by his. Oh, bowling. Are you any good at bowling?
You know what? I don't hook the ball.
Uh-huh.
So I just bowl
you
it straight.
You just manhandle it.
But I think my best game is like 205.
Oh, my God.
Go.
He's good at that, too.
No kidding. I need bumpers.
Just stop it.
Well, let's go bowling sometime.
Yeah, because you want to crush me and I need bumpers. I'll be in the next
bowling.
Lane.
Sounds good.
My max is 151. That's the highest I've ever bowled.
Well,
and I
you know
just
what?
Quit right
you,
after that.
But you can
like,
get
I'm
better.
Out.
You can improve. Even at this stage of life.
Yeah, you can. Trust me.
See you, Mandy.
You just need a little
drink. Yeah, I'll see you
later.
That's Dave Logan, everybody. Buy his book. I got a link on the blog to make it easy for you to find it. We'll be right back after Susan tells us what's coming up on the news.
We're going to have the latest on the mass shooting in Northern California. It's all coming your way right here, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
People emailing me that they enjoyed Dave Logan's book, which is awesome. But if you have not gone to Amazon or another site wherever you bought it and done a review, that is very helpful for someone like Dave who wants to sell a lot of books. So if you have enjoyed Dave's book, please go take the time and go review it. That would be helpful for him. And spread the word. Anyway. And now I'm going to tell you where to go to the blog. We had to make an exception because Dave's fancy. I got to tell you guys something fun. I think it's funny. I've got the hiccups terribly. Let me just work through it here. Dave the Intrepid was all like giddy about talking to Dave Logan, a guy he has seen every day almost for 30 years. You still got all excited talking about Dave's book.
I get a little bit nervous. I still have that little kid thing in me that sports figures that I have admired are way up on a pedestal. And I don't know why this is, but it always has been that way. And one question I didn't get to ask Dave that I wanted to is, in his long career, he loves all sports and he loves sports figures. I wonder which interview that he did gave him a little bit of the nervous shakes beforehand.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Like, I know mine was Mickey Mantle. You know, that was the top. My boyhood
hero. Mine was
hero.
Definitely John Cleese. And then I had a whole technical issue created by me that was just ridiculous because I was all flummoxed. I was John Cleese. For the most part, I'm not impressed by famous people anymore.
It's not famous, but people, who
I admire their athletic abilities. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I follow their careers, and what they do is superhuman. And you have to admire that and be in awe of it to a certain extent, I think.
Being a flight attendant in my early 20s was very instructive about the nature of famous people. And famous people come in all personality types.
Oh, yeah.
They come from all walks of life. Some of them are absolutely delightful human beings. Some of them are horrible people. It just really drove home the point. They all put their pants on the same way, you know?
Sorry you had to find out about John Cusack, though.
Shut up! I'm going to watch Gross Point Blank and say anything just tonight, just to reiterate. Stop with that, you big jerk. Anyway, go
people
find the blog.
People don't know what we're talking about, but yesterday there was a thing about actors that you love their acting, but you don't like them as people. And
I don't want to hear anything more about John Cusack. Just stop it right now. Stop it. I will have Coover turn your microphone off and you'll never be able to speak again.
You could go watch, what's that movie with Annette Bening where he actually gets killed in it?
John Cusack?
Yeah.
I
think it starts with a G.
Now I have to look that up while I'm telling people how to find the blog. You can go to KOANewsRadio.com and click on anything that says full schedule, Mandy Connell, or look for the headline that says Mandy's Wednesday show. Dave Logan joins us to pimp his book. Click on that. And here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, Dave Logan is coming. Dave Logan is coming. The Book of Questions is up today at 2. Grant's latest podcast is with our man, Rob. NBC News is hip to the progressive hypocrisy in Park Hill. There's a mask burning party at the Independence Institute this Thursday. This is a great explainer on critical race theory. A new study on when the best time is to work out. Could you live to be 150? One company wants your pet to live longer with you. One of Japan's major newspapers is demanding they cancel the Olympics. And now, a dancing man to brighten your day. You ever wondered how those first look photos go at a wedding? Should the director of the ATF be able to define what an assault weapon is? Remember when thinking COVID was from a lab made you a crazy xenophobic nut? Dear men, let's pretend the short suit look isn't a thing. Americans sure don't want to put their money where their mouth is on climate change. The tax money being given away to get people vaccinated is taxable. RTD, which is hemorrhaging money, can now lower fares without asking. Gotta love a good trick play when it works. The look on this cat's face is priceless as he plays peekaboo with his prey. And say their names, angry Democrats. Those are the headlines on the blog at KOANewsRadio.com on the Mandy Connell page. By the way, it's the grifters.
That's correct.
The grifters. That is it.
Oh, that's the one with Angelica Houston.
Yes.
Great
yes.
movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't
that is
John Cusack bite it by him getting stuck with a bottle in his neck?
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I might have. That was a good movie. That was a very
good
movie.
He's also in one of the great baseball movies, Eight Men Out. about this Black Sox scandal.
And he's Better Off Dead. He's a phenomenal actor, and that's this conversation is now done because I'm going to tell you what's on the blog. Obviously, Dave Logan just visited us to talk about his new book. I've got a link to his book on the blog if you'd like to buy that. At 2 o'clock, the Book of Questions is up today, and Dave and I have already been fighting about what the question might be. We won't know until we spin the big wheel. But we were having a hypothetical conversation about perhaps if it's this question.
Yes, that's exactly
completely hypothetical. We were just shooting the breeze.
Just guessing.
Know? Yeah, just spitballing over here, you know.
By the way, go ahead. I got to tell you, of the whole blog, the one I sent you that I felt most strongly about today was the suits with the shorts.
Oh, we're getting to that, David.
Oh, boy.
We're getting to that. Okay? That's going to be a topic of conversation because I have some words about shorts with suits.
Yes.
And they all start with no. We're getting there.
We're on
Grant's new podcast is out and he is interviewing our Rob. Rob Williams, the guy who just started showing up to do Of the Day. And I'm not even really kidding about that. He just started showing up to do Of the Day and did it for a long time until he changed jobs and got, you know, had to be at work or some crap like that. I don't know. It was very confusing. But Rob is a fascinating guy. He's one of my favorite people that I've met through the show. And he also does a ton of stuff for veterans causes with specific organizations. And he is doing a podcast now. It's H-Train Radio. It's a military podcast that's really good. So Grant interviewed Rob on his latest podcast. And I'm stoked. I didn't know this. I would have already listened to it this morning. But when I saw it was Rob, I was like, well, no, I have to find out more. Because you always find out stuff about people you didn't know when you listen to this stuff. You really do. Great article. And I'm going to keep sharing these articles. So NBC News has an article today about the situation in Park Hill. And I have to give it to the reporter, Vicki Collins, who I have met on several occasions. And she is a delight. She did a stellar job laying the table on this story and very clearly pointing out that the progressives who inhabit Park Hill, who probably, and I said this in the blog, they've probably voted themselves every tax increase that has ever been put before them to help homeless people. I mean, can you imagine any of these people in Park Hill voting against that, Dave? I certainly can't. I mean, they've probably voted for every tax increase, for every homeless thing ever. And now when homelessness is actually coming to their neighborhood, it's a completely different story. And great, great story in NBC News. And it just makes me giggle, makes me laugh. Ha ha. Look how fun that is. Anyway, the Independence Institute, which is a free market think tank right there in downtown Denver, headed up by John Caldera, which also employs many of my favorite people I've met in Denver because it is everything's about snarky attitude. John is having a bonfire this Thursday, Dave. You know, we've been joking about having a mass burning party. They're having one. Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Independence Institute at 727 East 16th Avenue. You are invited to their parking lot because they're going to have a mask burning party. Bring your masks. They're going to have the power, excuse me, the fire, and they're supplying music and beer. Now, what's funny is that in the notice that I put a link to on my blog today, John actually says the following. This is a quote. Is this legal? Don't know. Don't care. The other guy, a homeless guy, lit a campfire on our property and the police wouldn't intervene. So precedent set. Party on. So there you go. That's happening Thursday. Are you going to make it down there, Dave?
I don't know. I was just thinking about, do I want to burn my Yankee mask? It's almost like, you know, the flag. It's hard
for
me to do.
Have you worn the same mask the entire time?
Yes.
How many times do you wash it?
Couple.
Wait, what? A couple times the whole time?
Yeah, pretty much two or three times.
Dave. That's
I only
just
wear it for. It's kind of disgusting, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
When you said that, I'm hashtag paper mask all the way because I can't breathe through cloth masks. It just doesn't work for me.
I just love my Yankee mask because it's got the Yankee insignia on it. So I don't know if I could actually burn it, but I have other masks
that
I'd be happy to burn some.
How about I burn your Yankees mask?
That would be the last thing I want. You don't deserve to burn a Yankee mask.
How about I take one of my paper masks and I put the New York Yankee symbol on it and then I burn it?
That you can do whether I approve or not, but I don't.
Just a thought on that one. So you can go do that. I was thinking about going down there, but tomorrow's Thirsty Thursday. So the wine yoga comes to my house.
I'm not going to burn your dog mask either.
No, I'm keeping my Jinx mask, my St. Bernard mask. Yeah, I'm keeping that one forever. As a reminder of the miserable time that we went through together in society where we all had to cover our faces. Speaking of Caldera, he did a great, great interview about the history of critical race theory. It's about a half an hour long. And we talk about critical race theory so much that if you're still confused about what it is, where it came from, and who is promoting it, please watch this video because it is excellent. Great information. I watched the whole thing this morning. John's always entertaining, but this is really useful information with Jonathan Butcher from the Heritage Foundation. And as John Caldera jokingly said, there's nothing better than watching two white guys talk about critical race theory, but it's very, very informative, and you will be surprised at part of it. I mean, at least part of it, if not all of it. I've been reading so much that I was surprised a couple times, but for the most part, it just reaffirmed what I have already learned about critical race theory. And that's why I'm so passionate that we have to keep this away from our children, not just white children. Black and brown children are not going to be helped by this, by being told that they are permanent victims and permanently oppressed. That simply is not going to help at all. I mean, at all. Anyway. Also on the blog today, let me check the time. I got time to do one more story. You know, the Olympics are supposed to happen this summer, Dave, in Japan. They were supposed to happen last year. And now cases are rising in Asian nations. Asian nations have not really had a problem with COVID because they've had severe lockdowns early on and they managed to stop it. But now it's kind of catching up and they do not have very high rates of vaccination. They have not been vaccinating their people. It's not been a priority for them because they haven't had big COVID outbreaks. And now cases are rising, hospitalizations and deaths are up. And one of Japan's major newspapers, it's the second largest newspaper in Japan, is demanding that the Japanese prime minister cancel the Olympic Games. And I understand how they feel, but how much money has Japan already spent getting ready for the Olympic Games? How devastating to the athletes if they cancel it again? Because I'm telling you, there are athletes that were ready to compete in the Summer Games last summer who were at the peak of their lives, and they are no longer there. You know, when you're talking about Olympic level performances, that window of peak performance is very short in some sports, especially things like women's gymnastics. Because by the time you're 23, you are done in gymnastics forever. You know,
same thing with swimming.
Exactly. All of these sports, really, when you're talking about competing at that high a level. So I'm hoping that they allow the games to go on. It's going to be very, very different. There's probably not going to be anybody in the stands, but
the Olympic Village and all of it will be a bubble, I guess, in which only people who are vaccinated and are tested can participate.
I'm guessing that a vast majority of the athletes have probably already been vaccinated. Wouldn't you think? If I were an Olympic athlete, I think I would go ahead and do that just to be sure. You don't want to get COVID like a week before the Olympics and then not be able to go.
I'm not sure. Have they said that there will be no crowds attending the events?
They are going to let some Japanese fans in, but no foreign fans will be allowed, which I don't think is fair. I think that you need
to
do a no fans altogether.
It's the Japanese who are infected right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make much sense.
They got 2 months to figure this out. So hopefully Japan will make that happen. Did you know that one scientist says you could double your lifespan? I'll tell you about it.
Ooh, how?
I'll tell you about it.
All right, I'll listen.
After Susan Witkin tells me what's coming up in her news.
We're going to introduce you to the new Denver school superintendent, and the president wants answers about the origin of COVID in China. 1 o'clock right here, KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the show. I'm all discombobulated because we had Dave Logan right out of the beginning of the show, and now I'm backwards and sideways and crooked. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we've got the big wheel. You got the big wheel, Coov? You're going to go get that in the last break of this hour?
I am ready.
Ready to do that. Because we've got the question of the week. We should just call it the question of the week, Dave. Do you think? Question of the week?
That would be fine.
Yeah, let's call it the question of the week. Because I say the book of questions is up, but it's really just the question of the week. Let me see. Let me scroll down. We're still working our way through the blog. This is interesting. Couple stories. One scientist says that it could be possible to double our current lifespan. Double it. Yeah. Scientists in Singapore have developed an iPhone app that accurately estimates biological aging. It discovered that life expectancy has the capacity to be almost double the current norm. The findings are based on blood samples from hundreds of thousands of people in the US and the UK. The instrument is called DOSI. It uses artificial intelligence to work out body resilience, the ability to recover from injury or disease. DOSI, which stands for Dynamic Organism State Indicator, takes into account age, illnesses, and lifestyles to make its estimates. Now, let me ask you this question, Dave. If you could get this app on your iPhone, which I can't get it because I'm a Droid person. If you could get this app on your phone and your app said, David, your biological age is 95. In order to drop that number down, you have to stop eating bacon and commit to working out 1 hour every single day, only drinking water, having no sugar and no caffeine for the rest of your life. Are you in? What are you doing? Right there.
Nope. Nope.
See, I think this is the kicker right here. Because even if you have the information, we all know what we need to do to live a long, healthy life. You know, and let's be real. Genetics are a big part of it. OK,
I think the biggest.
I think that they are.
Remember Andy. Yeah. Remember Andy Kaufman from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Who was a health nut, did everything right. And he got this rare form of cancer and he was dead in months.
Yeah. And my favorite.
I'm not going to do that. Take away all the things that make life worth living so that I can live another few years, maybe.
See, that's it. That's it. You can still get hit by a bus. Because ultimately, we all know that eating lots of vegetables and eating, you know, healthy food and exercising every single day, those are the keys to healthy aging for you know, as much as you can control. Back to our point about, you know, the genetics do have a lot to do with it, but there are parts of it that you can control, and yet a vast majority of us simply ignore those things. You know why? They're hard.
There's a saying, moderation in everything, and it makes sense as well as being healthy and eating and doing all the healthy things. You can go overboard and spend your entire life trying to eke out another 6 months of life because you're going to do the right thing and never enjoy your life.
Well, you know what I thought of when you just said that, Dave, and I've had people in my immediate sphere make this choice. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, I guess it was maybe a couple of years ago, doesn't really matter, his grandmother, who was like 95-ish, 96-ish, went from being in perfect health, as perfect as a 95-year-old could do, and she was diagnosed with a pretty aggressive form of cancer. And her family said, okay, you know, Mom, you can fight this. And she was like, nope. She said, I'm not going to spend the last whatever part of my life I have left. I'm not going to spend it sick from chemo and radiation. She had seen a lot of her friends go down that road, and they ended up dying anyway. And they ended up dying miserable and in pain. So she spent the last like 8 months of her life going around visiting all of her family and visiting her friends and seeing everyone and going places she'd never been, and then died peacefully. So it's kind of that way. You know, you know that you can do this to extend your life, but if you're just extending it and not having a life that's worth living, what's the point of extending it? You know?
Yeah. And as to my point earlier, we always say everything in moderation. We usually think, you know, drink in moderation, smoke mm-hmm. in all the bad things, do it in moderation. But that goes for the good things too. You can exercise too much and have a diet that's so extreme that you're not enjoying anything.
Exactly. I mean, you have to be able to enjoy life. I just thought that was very, very interesting. By the way, a calculation of resilience based on physical activity data streams has been implemented in the GiroSense iPhone app. If a person's trends hold into old age, the app finds a complete loss of human body resilience won't occur until age 120 to 150. I find that fascinating. I got to tell you, I don't think teeth were meant to last 150 years. Teeth seem to be a design flaw with human beings. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you brush and you floss and you take care of them, one day you bite on a peanut and break a tooth in half. You know, it's like there seems to be an issue with this.
Why do sharks get replacement teeth but humans not? That's not fair.
I think that's a great point, mostly because they have so many and they use them to viciously rip things apart to eat, whereas we're slightly more, genteel.
That's a little adjustment that could be made to the human being. You know, replaceable teeth every 10 years would be good.
Although now they're talking about using stem cells to regrow your teeth. So instead of having like a crown, they would take out the old tooth and they would pop in a new living tooth and you would go about your business. But there are some issues that have to be addressed before they can make that happen. So maybe they'll solve that problem, because I don't want to be, I'm sure that there are people out there with great fitting dentures, but all of the older people in my life that have, you know, dentures, especially across the front, they're never happy with them. They're never happy with them, because especially when it's across the front, it's hard to chew.
The one person that was happy with them?
Who?
My dad.
Yeah?
Because he had horrific teeth he just had horrible teeth.
Right.
And finally in, early middle age, all of them gone, got up in lower plates, and he's in heaven. He loved them to death. Take them out, clean them, no problems. They fit perfectly. He loved them. Much
that was
better
a full plate,
anything
though.
He had
a full upper and a full lower.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
It's when people only have the dentures across the front, because all my family members, their molars are still good. The across the front is what the problem was. Those seem to always give people fits. You know,
it's all heredity.
Yeah. Some longevity researchers, by the way, say it's possible to live to be 1,000. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I just don't. It's all about recovery time, by the way.
Well, you got to remember, Mandy, there's going to come a time when they're going to upload our intelligence to the internet or something like that.
No.
And we'll be around forever.
I'm never going digital.
On the World Wide Web.
Nah. I just don't see that happening for me. This is a study, another study. Dave, Kuv, do you work out? I don't think Dave doesn't do regular exercise on a specific schedule basis or anything, but are you a workout person? Do you work out?
I have a membership to Planet Fitness.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you if you actually use the membership to Planet Fitness.
We go maybe once or twice a week. We also go on walks. Yeah. And we also go hiking, so...
Sure, you're active.
Mixing
you're
all that active. Together, we try to stay active.
Do you go in the morning or in the evening?
On the weekends, we go in the morning. Mm-hmm. During the week, we'll go in the evening when I get home from work.
Well, there have been a lot of studies about when the best time to exercise is. And depending on the day and who did the study, you're going to get exactly the opposite response from the other study. This is one of those things that is not settled science at all. A new study out says that it is better to work out in the evening because you can undo some damage from a lousy diet if you work out in the evening, which sounds great, except I hate working out in the evening. I have no energy left in the evening. I am definitely a morning workout person. And there are studies that say working out in the morning is the best way to go because you jumpstart your metabolism. The whole point of me putting this on here is just to say, figure out what time you want to work out and exercise at that time. Don't worry about studies that tell you, unless you're like some kind of Olympic athlete who's getting ready to go to the games and you're really trying to squeeze every bit of peak efficiency out of your workout, just work out when it works for you. just exercise when you can. You know, I see these studies and I'm thinking, who is this for? And by the way, this study was a whopping 5-day study. Why do you even have a 5-day study when it comes to anything health related? That's just dumb. I mean, good gravy. That's just totally dumb. Ugh. Anyway, that's on the blog today. One company, speaking of living longer, though, is now working on anti-aging for dogs. And I got to tell you, so Jinkies is coming up on her 3rd birthday, my St. Bernard. And I was reading an article about St. Bernards, and now it's not unusual for St. Bernards to live to be 10 or 12 years old. But that forces me to recognize I may only have like 5 more years with this dog, Dave. You know? And that stinks. I love this pup.
And Michael Brown, who's had several St. Bernards,
yeah.
And I spoke to him about that, and he says that's the one drawback is they don't have long lives.
No. It's the trade-off that you have to make. And,
yeah.
This is the first dog, my dog now, Jinx, this is the first dog that I would ever consider being cloned. You know, I think that's weird and creepy. Like, people getting their dogs cloned. I get it now. I would love to have this dog again. She is just, she's hilarious, you guys. Now, do you know what she does now, Dave? And I am not making this up, and I have tested it over and over again. If I ask her a question, like, do you want to go outside? And she doesn't want to go. She shakes her head no. She shakes her head. She'll be standing there looking at me, begging, crying, whatever, trying to get my attention. And I'll start going through stuff. And she will shake her head no when she does not want to go outside or not want to do whatever I want.
Does she nod when you get to the right
no.
answer?
She gets excited when I get scary. To the right answer. When I finally get to the right answer, she's like, oh, finally someone understands me, you know?
Okay, I want to see a demonstration of this on tape.
Well, she's completely actually passed out behind me right
well,
now.
Well, not necessarily now, but sometime. I want to see the head shake.
She does it with enough regularity that I think I can get it on tape now.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I can get it on tape. It's so cute. It's just so cute.
We can make a YouTube video and put it on the blog.
You hear that, Jinkies? You'll be a star.
There you go.
You'll be a star. Let's see. Oh, did you watch The Dancing Man? Guy dancing?
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh! He's just, first of all, I think the cane is just a clever ruse because this guy walks with a cane, but then he gets down. He boogies. And I think that he doesn't really need the cane. He's just pretending.
Is that a real old man or
that's a real old
guy
man.
Dressed nope. up as an old man?
Real old man. He's got moves, Dave.
He does?
Do you think you can dance like that? He's just dancing. This guy's playing guitar on the street and this guy just starts dancing with him.
Probably not.
I'm telling you, he's got moves. I think the cane is just a ruse. He's some kind of con man, some kind of grifter.
I think the beard is a ruse, and he's 22 years
no,
old.
No, he's not. That's a fully old man beard right there. That beard says, I'm an old man, and I don't care what you think about my beard. That's what kind of beard he has.
You can get the phony, real-looking old man beards.
No, well, exactly. Everybody can tell the phony old man-looking beard. So check that out on the blog. And then Dave sent me this one. This made me laugh so hard. Now the thing to do at weddings, like when I got married, you know, the groom wasn't supposed to see the bride until she walked down the aisle. And then the first look of was a big moment. Well, now, because people are doing photographs before the wedding and, you know, it's just different. Now they have a photographer will set up the first look before the wedding, right? So you can get that photograph. Well, they were setting this up and they've got the groom looking out the window. You know, he's looking out the window. He's waiting for his bride to tap him on the shoulder. And he gets tapped on the shoulder and turns around. And it's his best man wearing a wedding dress and a veil. And it's just, you know that he was probably grateful, though, because he's nervous on his wedding day. And this made him laugh really hard.
If you're
nervous, nothing is better than laughing really hard. Right? You know, that breaks up the nerves. Unless you can't stop laughing. And then it's awful. Really awful. That's
although
on the
at the end
well.
Of it, he yeah. said, you know, you kind of look good in that dress.
Maybe I'll reconsider. No, that's
just
not
saying.
What's happening. Koof, can you do me a favor? Can you pull up my blog real quick? I meant to send you this soundbite earlier, but I really want people to hear the nominee to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. His name is David Chipman. I watched a very small amount of his confirmation hearings today. I don't know where this guy came from. I have no idea anything about him, but if this is the best they can do to head up the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, we are in deep doo-doo. Senator Kennedy asked him a question. Can you define an assault weapon? And this is what he said.
ATF director.
I got 35 seconds left. Define it for me, would you please, sir? What's an assault weapon?
Yeah, Senator, the bill to ban assault weapons is,
what is your
dozens of pages.
Of
There's no way I could define an assault weapon.
You don't have any. You're going to run this agency and you don't have a definition of assault weapon?
But I would be enforcing the definition that members of Congress
passed.
Yeah,
but you're going to be issuing rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Just give me your definition.
I'll give you one definition that ATF
Give me your definition.
Uses. One definition that ATF currently
Give me your definition.
I can give you one definition.
If you want to answer my question, how can I vote for you?
He's got a point.
I'm done, Mr. Chairman. I don't think I'm going to get an answer.
I think he's done. I think that guy should be done.
And to top it off, this guy totally looks like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. Coop, do you see it? Do you see the Beavis thing right there?
Yeah, if I just put the Metallica or the AC/DC t-shirt on, for sure.
TP! I just could not stop. And then he was an absolute train wreck. I mean, just an absolute train wreck. And you're wondering, like, who are
but
these
there's
people?
Probably, well, they're people that you can check a box off of a minority.
See, now, Dave, I thought that as well, but he is a white man.
Oh, gosh.
He's a white man. Yeah. By the way, he is a former, I just pulled up his wiki. I didn't do this earlier. I should have done it earlier. It makes it even better. He is an American former law enforcement officer and gun control advocate. So we have a gun control advocate that's going to be running the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Right.
At least he worked for ATF. That's something. Yeah. So, yeah, that's awesome. Gun control advocate. But they're not coming for your guns that they can't define. I'm just reminding you of that.
That's one of those pieces of video that he's going to have follow him the rest of his life.
When we get back, I have a treat for you guys. Drew Holden is, I don't know who Drew Holden is. He's a writer who writes and his stuff appears in all these different places. But he has a thread on Twitter that I'm going to share with you because just a year ago, David, do you remember when if you suggested that the virus was actually released from a Wuhan lab, then you were some kind of xenophobic, racist moron who believed in conspiracy theories and you were some kind of idiot?
At least that's what President Biden said.
I have the emails to prove it because that's been my contention the entire time. Well, Drew Holden, went back in time and he has side-by-side screenshots of the media coverage from a year ago to now. And just wait until you hear this. We're going to do that next. But first, Susan Witkin is going to tell us what is coming up on her newscast.
We're going to hear more from the governor because he wants you to be the state's next millionaire. United States is getting closer to getting 70% of Americans vaccinated. I've got all these details for you at 1:30 on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome back. Sorry, I'm looking to see if my car has a giant blind spot that I could squash a child in. I've got to share this with you guys because this is so ridiculously outrageous. I saw a tweet earlier today and I just tried to find it and I couldn't find it. But the essence of the tweet was, for the last year, the media has been lying to you about Andrew Cuomo, about Dr. Fauci's been lying to you about various things. All of these lies have been happening. Oh, the origin of the virus. And everyone in the mainstream media has been telling you that if you believe those things, you're crazy. When everyone in conservative media has been saying these things all along. Well, guess what? Now they're just going to switch the story and act like it never happened. Drew Holden put together this thread. I linked to it. Go ahead and click through to Twitter. Trust me, it's worth it. He just went back and said, this is how it starts, that the COVID pandemic could have leaked from a lab in Wuhan went from terrible racist conspiracy theory to plausible overnight for the mainstream media without a shred of accountability. If you don't believe me, look at these stories side by side, then versus now. From the New York Times, the headline, Dave, Senator Tom Cotton repeats fringe theory of coronavirus origins. You may remember Senator Tom Cotton wrote an editorial saying we need to get to the root of where this virus came from. And he was widely decried as a xenophobe, racist, China hater, blah, blah, blah. The subhead under this Senator Tom Cotton repeats fringe theory of coronavirus origins is scientists have dismissed suggestions that the Chinese government was behind the outbreak, but it's the kind of tale that gains traction among those who see China as a threat. Well, now, what do you think the headline says in the New York Times? Well, from yesterday, another group of scientists calls for further inquiry into the origins of coronavirus. Researchers urge an open mind, saying lack of evidence leaves theories of natural spillover and laboratory leak both viable. Oh, so weird. So weird. Let's go to CNN, who a year ago published on March 31st of... A year ago. That's adorable. March 31st of 2021. So what was that, Dave? Couple months ago? They published this headline, lab leak COVID-19 theory is like something out of a comic book, virologist says. Now, this is the headline, new information on Wuhan researchers' illness furthers debate on pandemic origins. So weird. So weird. They also tweeted out last year, we urge the U.S. to stop spreading disinformation. China says recent accusations by the Trump administration that the COVID-19 pandemic originated in a lab in Wuhan are a political strategy for Republicans ahead of the 2020 presidential election. When in reality, it seems like the denial of the Wuhan virus coming out of a lab was a Democratic strategy. I could go on CNN over and over and over and over again. The Washington Post, Tom Cotton keeps repeating a coronavirus theory that has been debunked. Headline now, the vexing lab leak theory on China and the coronavirus. Vexing, Dave. It's vexing.
You don't mean to tell me that the media is inconsistent?
What?
I can't believe that.
Yeah. The Washington Post last year, May 1st of 2020, fact checker, was the new coronavirus accidentally released from a Wuhan lab? It's doubtful. Now, what does the Washington Post have to say? Let's see. Timeline. How the Wuhan lab leak theory suddenly became credible. Suddenly, Dave. Suddenly. Does this mean that I'm like a hipster of the Wuhan lab theory, because I've believed it for a long time? So am I like some kind of OG lab theory person here? Like, do I get some kind of medal? Are there prizes given for being right in hindsight? Are there?
Absolutely not.
You guys, he has example from Reuters, Politico, NPR, The Hill. I mean, he has example after example after example after example. And it just goes to show you how the media hated Donald Trump so much that he completely eliminated any intellectual curiosity about whether or not he might be right or not. They were so hell-bent on just immediately putting their heels down and saying, if the bad orange man said it, the opposite must be true, that we have been left for a year having no clue where this virus that has killed millions of people actually came from. A fun addition to this story, and I'm not going to read the rest of them. I want you to go read the entire link. It will blow your freaking mind. Go read the link. Just read it. Because it is stunningly bad. It is the perfect example of media malpractice. Perfect. But one more part of this story, Dave. Did you know that when President Joe Biden was sworn into office, one of the first things he did was to shut down an investigation into the origin of this virus that was ongoing under the Trump administration? He shut it down. Do you know what he called for yesterday? An investigation into the origin of the Wuhan virus. I mean, we're living, it's every
action. Makes sense, Mandy. That makes sense. The old investigation was a Trump investigation, which has to be bad. So forget about that and now have the good, honest Biden investigation that we can depend on.
But do you guys know how frustrating it is to be a person like me who has been saying these things for a year? And then when the media decides that, oh, by the way, oh, yeah, that theory, totally right. Nobody ever says, hey, I'm sorry I called you an idiot on Twitter. Hey, I'm sorry I sent you that nasty email telling you to shut up because you're not a doctor and you should listen to Dr. Fauci. I'm super sorry. Nobody ever does that. They just send the nasty. And then when I'm proven right, which I swear to you, I believe with every fiber of my being that this escaped from a Wuhan lab. It's the only explanation that makes remotely any sense. And nobody ever apologizes. Nobody ever says, hey, you were right about Andrew Cuomo.
They shouldn't have to, because right on the New York Times masthead every day, it says all the fake news fit to print.
Oh,
so they're
right.
They admit it.
I don't think I think you're reading in the word fake.
Doesn't say that?
No, I think that's your perception. It's not wrong, by the way. Not wrong.
Okay.
So I understand why you would make that mistake. I finally found the tweet. You know, if you listen to the major outlets, you got misled on Cuomo, Rebecca Jones, contagion on beaches, safety of schools, and the origins of the virus. Did you know that hundreds of conservative journalists in real time were trying to tell you were being misled? That's the tweet. That is the tweet. So check that out. But we have to talk about the really important story of the day while we have a little time left before we do our book of questions, question of the week. So apparently LeBron James wore a suit with shorts to a playoff game. And that inspired the Wall Street Journal to actually create a headline that says, can you pull off a short suit look? Wait, can you pull off a shorts suit like LeBron James? Once a rarity, liberating shorts suits like the Tom Brown styles the basketball star favors are gaining popularity as work wardrobes relax. Here's how to successfully sport one this summer. The answer is no, you cannot. And the answer is no, you should not. And the answer is I don't ever want to see anyone I know wearing a suit with shorts. Never. This is not a look that needs to gain traction. If you want a nice lightweight suit, get a seersucker suit. I'd love to see seersucker make a comeback. It's such a great fabric. So, no. Kuv, where are you on these shorts suits? Did you see this? Did you see this nonsense?
I didn't see it, but when you brought up LeBron James's name, this was not the direction that I thought you were going to go.
Yeah, and to cap it off, he's wearing it with gray dress socks that come just below the bottom of his calf muscle and some kind of high, like a booty type shoe that the whole look looks like he is going to go play with Cheap Trick. I mean, nobody should wear shorts with a tie unless you're in the band Cheap Trick. Okay. Just don't do it.
Wonder where I thought you were going to go with this?
Where?
I thought you were going to go anti-vaxxer.
What? How was I going to go anti-vaxxer with this?
Because I just thought that you were going to talk LeBron James, that you were going to talk anti-vaxxing, because that's
an anti-vaxxer?
Supposedly, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know what? I've talked about vaccines enough. I have offered my services. If people see something that they want me to look into, as long as it doesn't come from Alex Jones or InfoWars, I'm happy to. And I've had some great correspondence, but I'm not here to convince people to get a vaccine. If somebody's decided that getting a vaccine is more dangerous in their mind than getting coronavirus, more power to you. I hope you don't die of COVID. You know, do you think that there's going to be a bunch of gravestones at some point that said, I should have got the shot? I don't know.
I should have, but didn't.
Yeah. I'm, you know what? It's kind of like seatbelts. You know, we talked about this for a second yesterday. It's the click it or ticket campaign they do every year where they're supposed to remind people to wear seatbelts. People know that seatbelts ostensibly save lives, right? I don't know how many realistically, but if you're not wearing a seatbelt right now, you're not going to start because of the click it or ticket campaign. And if you've decided you're not going to get a vaccine, a lady on the radio is not going to convince you to do it. So I'm kind of done talking about it.
Do you think do you think people like him, sorry to make you talk about it more,
but
think people of his status can make people afraid to get the shot if he decides not to?
Yeah,
That was asked of him this weekend because he was around a crowd of people and he did not have to sit out any games. So it came down to him, did you get the vaccine shot? And he wouldn't answer the question. Which people to believe that he didn't get it.
Yeah, which means he didn't. Because if you did, why not just say, yeah, I got it. Who cares? You know? Here's the thing. I do think that there are people who are influenced by celebrity at that level. But more importantly, I think that if there are people on the fence who can find an excuse not to do it by saying, LeBron James, you know, he's not getting one. If he's not getting one, then I'm not. Then it's going to give some people an out. Whether or not he's actually going to convince them to not get it, I don't know. But if celebrity influence wasn't a thing, none of them would be paid to do commercials. You know?
That's true. That's very true.
I mean, so, yeah, I do
think. I'll tell you, though, he's not going to convince anyone to wear these stupid shorts with a suit.
No.
I mean, there's a photograph of him. He's wearing a kind of nice, shiny shark skin type suit. And it's very shiny material, looks expensive, and he's got the same matching Bermuda shorts on.
Yeah.
And dress socks. He looks like a complete idiot.
Well, interesting.
Here's the problem with this. You wear a suit, it's a formal thing. You wear it to work, you wear it to a special event to look sharp and well-dressed. When you go to the beach or you go to a ball game, you wear shorts because it's informal. And you're out in the sun. They don't mix informality and formality. You look terribly underdressed in shorts and a suit. It's as simple as that.
I think it's.
I wouldn't
it goes
be caught dead in it.
It goes beyond that, Dave. You look like a child. You look like a child playing dress up, wearing shorts with a suit.
Kids were traditionally used to wear shorts with a suit because. Mm-hmm. They weren't old enough to wear long pants yet.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're old enough to wear long pants, it's a bad idea to go back to shorts with your suit.
Well, and apparently the designer behind this movement, Tom Brown, is a no pants guy. He's like Dragon. He doesn't wear pants. He only wears shorts. In the winter, he wears knee-high socks with his shorts to give his otherwise exposed calves a smidgen of insulation. He's the problem here. This guy needs to be stopped.
And the tone of this whole article, it's not like, can you believe we're showing this idiot wearing shorts and a suit? No, it's the new trend. And how many of you are going to jump on board? I'll tell you, if you jumped on board with a Nehru suit back in the day, this is for you.
Yeah. Well, I will mention that they have a picture, a photograph of actor Mickey Rooney from 1955 wearing a Bermuda short suit in 1955, and he looks like an idiot.
Complete idiot.
Yeah. If you want to emulate Mickey Rooney, go right ahead. But please, no, with the shorts and the suit. That's not a thing that should ever
this
catch
must
on.
Die in its cradle.
I'm telling you, Seersucker needs to make a comeback. I love Seersucker fabric. And the only time men wear it is at the Kentucky Derby.
You wear
and that
summer
is a
suit like Steve Martin, those white suits he used to wear
were
so
suits,
cool.
But that's still polyester, but Seersucker is like a lightweight fabric that holds its shape, and it looks great. So it's striped and a little wobbly in the fabric. It's fine.
It's just so you look like you just got out of prison fashionably.
I love Seersucker. It's like my favorite fabric and nobody uses it. I'm going to start my own designer line with just Seersucker. All Seersucker all the time.
First of all, why is it even called Seersucker?
I don't know, because it looks like it's weird? Been sucked in the, you know, the little wobbly part in the middle. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that...
I love it. I just think it's, I've had dresses, I've had pants, all made of Seersucker.
Okay, and so you know what the fabric that I just hate?
What?
It's women's clothing, and when you wear it, it gets super wrinkly, but it looks so good with linen.
I love
linen.
Thank
you. Oh my gosh, I do too, but forget it.
Yeah.
You can only wear it once, and then you're wrinkled, and then that's it. Then you have to press it.
No, like, you don't have to press it. You're wearing linen. There's a layer of forgiveness with linen. You're expected to be wrinkled.
You are looking like you just rolled out of bed.
I'm okay
sorry,
with that, because if somebody
down,
says something like, it's linen, I can't help it.
No. I love the material, but only if it looks like, if you can just walk into a press machine.
Somebody just asked me if maybe LeBron was identifying as a six-year-old British kid. in the short suit.
There you go.
That could be a thing.
Oh, you know, because in Britain, you're not allowed to wear, or at least the royals, are not allowed to wear long pants until they're a certain age. Boys. Did you know
really?
That? Yeah.
Oh, I know they have weird rules about like fingernail polish and stuff like that.
Well, that's for girls.
Ladies, yeah.
But for boys, you know, all of Prince William's children are not allowed to wear. If you'll see them, and even in the dead of winter, they're wearing shorts.
Oh, that's nuts. Somebody also just texted the shorts thing. Y'all have been to Bermuda. They've dressed like that forever. Tropical resort wear does not need to be part of our daily lives if we don't live in a tropical resort. I'm just saying. Throwing that out there. Susan, what's coming up in the news?
We've got Colorado-based Lockheed Martin just announcing the newest vehicle it's going to build to roam around the moon. It is super cool. I want one here. Oh, and we've got
a moon buggy.
Would that be awesome?
That'd be super cool.
They're not calling it the moon buggy. I'll tell you what they're called at 2 o'clock on KOA News Radio. Oh, and I'll also tell you about the road rage incident that has shut down the 225 Parker area. It's awful. 2 o'clock, KOA, 850 AM, 94.1 FM.
Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time to do our book of questions. That's what we do once a week. And Coover, by the way, I have to tell you guys, I got some snarky text messages about us picking on LeBron's short suit. And the first one started out, let's see here. It's so good. It's so, so good. And by the way, people are also loving on Seersucker. I'm telling you, Seersucker needs to make a comeback. Why are you guys expending all of this energy to badmouth someone for wearing something you don't care for? So I responded, because we can. Okay?
Because it's fun.
It is fun. And we have to stop this from catching hold. Like, this is a public service to let people know, if you're considering a short suit, don't do it. Because your friends will lie to you and tell you it looks good because they want to be able to laugh at you behind your back.
Good name. It's going to be very expensive. And within 3 months, everyone will be laughing at you like they did when people wore Nehru jackets.
Exactly.
Didn't Angus from AC/DC wear one for every show that he ever did?
Yep. Still does, by the way. He's still alive. He still plays with them. But I don't think they're playing out because Brian, what's his name? The lead singer is not well, I don't think. But yeah, it's a costume. It's not a serious
I don't think my
outfit.
Business attire is going to be patterned after a rock star's stage presence.
Correct. And then I was told that I was terribly mature and modeling great behavior for your kid, to which I responded, I will never let her date a man who wears a short suit. So I feel like I'm nailing this parenting thing. I mean, come on, people. What more do you want from me? That's a hard limit right there. She brings home a guy in a short suit, and I'm like, I'm sorry, this meeting is over. Have a nice life. Good luck to you. Good luck to you.
That's the kind of mom I like.
Hey, you know what? I got this parenting thing down flat, Dave. Down flat. Okay. Coov went on the break, and he rolled in the big wheel so we can spin the big wheel.
How much does that thing weigh after
oh,
all?
Like a, what, 700 pounds?
Like a ton.
Easy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I had to get like extra people here from the newsroom to help me get it in here.
Well, you know that
we
had to
have a bad back or anything.
We had to hire a crane.
I probably do afterwards. I may have
to get up to the fourth floor. We couldn't just bring it up the elevator. It's too big.
I'm going to have to file some sort of claim here with workers' comp.
Okay, Grant tried that and was totally denied. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I'll go in a different direction. Yep.
Spin the big wheel. Go right ahead. That was a good one, too.
Real like good one.
Really put your back into it. All right.
Ooh, number 234. Okay. Ready for this, Mandy?
Sure. What is it? I have no idea.
Neither do I. This is a complete surprise to
Shocking.
All of us.
Shocking. Yes.
Wow. Here it comes. Wow, look. Okay. A deaf couple plans to have a baby by IVF so they can implant an embryo with genes that will ensure that their child will be deaf. Do you think this is wrong? And should it be illegal?
Well,
we have two deaf parents that want their child to be like they are, mm-hmm. and they're going to make sure that's the case.
So here's the deal. I am philosophically opposed to designer babies, and this falls into that category.
What about amniocentesis?
For me, I think it's horrible. I refused an amnio when I had my daughter. I just don't. The only purpose of an amnio is to find out if you want to abort your child, and I'm not doing that. So
So there's a disease among Jews called Tay-Sachs disease that has no cure. It's very rare, but it can be detected in amniocentesis. Mm-hmm. And every child that has it genetically will die painfully by the age of 4 or 5 at the most. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me if you found that out, you wouldn't abort?
I don't believe in abortion, Dave. I don't. When I was 39 years old and getting ready to, we were talking about getting pregnant. We had long conversations because the older you are, the more likely you are to have a child who may have Down syndrome or some other genetic issue. And, Chuck was older than I was. So we had those conversations and we made a decision that what we got, we got. And let the chips fall where they may. And, that's how I feel about it.
So we come at this question from two totally different points of view.
Yeah. And I think it's horrible that people are trying to genetically sort characteristics into their kids that they feel have value, not recognizing that they may be sorting other genetic characteristics that don't have value or that do or that are valuable as well. I don't like
the notion. My point on this is these parents are handicapped. They can't hear. They want to make themselves or they think their child more comfortable by making their child the same as they are. What they're doing, in effect, is handicapping their child, making sure that they'll never enjoy the thrill of music or hearing a loved one's voice. That's kind of a sick behavior as far as I'm concerned. So my answer to the question was, do I think this is wrong? Yes, I think it's wrong. Should it be illegal? Yes, it should.
Well, let me ask you from this perspective. You just devalued the lives of adult deaf people. You devalued their life experience by saying that's sick. That's what you just said.
No,
let
me clarify. What is sick is for them to make their child the same as they are. Being deaf is, of course, not sick.
Their decision about
their child is a sick one.
I totally get it. But I'm going to use the example of Jim Lampley. What was his ex-wife's name? Bree something. She has a birth defect where her fingers are fused together. So she has kind of a lobster claw thing going on. And they knew before they had children that there was a possibility of that defect being passed down to their children. They had children anyway, and one of their children has it. So is that any different than two people who are deaf?
Yes, that's completely different.
Well, should deaf people who are married to each other not have children?
Let me finish the thought. What's different about it is these parents are specifically trying to make their child deaf. It's not a possibility. They want a certainty. That's what's sick about it.
But this is why I'm against the whole designer baby thing completely. Because if you have two people that have genius IQs and they self-select a baby that also has a genius IQ, but in doing so, they also create a whole host of problems that they don't even see coming. I think that whenever you try to manipulate Mother Nature, it's wrong. So is it wrong for two deaf people to want to have a deaf child? I don't think there's anything wrong with
yes,
it if they
yes,
had a wonderful life.
A thousand
life.
Times yes.
But if they've had a wonderful life, they have a very full
but
life, they lead a normal life.
But they're limiting their child to a life without sound. That's selfish.
It's what they know.
A horrible thing for parents to do. And they know what the wonderful joys of being able to hear would be if they could hear. They cope very well, but to sentence your child to a lifetime of that is sick.
Well, I don't think that they feel like it's a sentence, obviously,
They obviously don't, but I believe they're dead wrong and they shouldn't be permitted to do that.
Well, I don't think designer babies should be a thing, and I think we're moving there rapidly where people
are
selecting
embryos. Let's get some reaction
embryos.
From other people.
Well, let's see here. 303-713-8585. That's 303-713-8585. The text line so far, on your side, Dave. Yes, it is just wrong. Mandy, they are hobbling their child. Mandy, it's wrong. My point is that any kind of manipulation is wrong. But I do think to say immediately, if this person is going to be deaf, somehow their lives are going to be horrible or awful.
So my Tay-Sachs, my Tay-Sachs example doesn't move you?
No, I don't believe in abortion. Somebody that is more pro-choice. But I'm talking about
a certainty that your child will suffer horribly and die at the age of four, guaranteed. And you're not going to prevent that because you don't want designer babies.
I'm not going to prevent that. I'm not going to go in and prevent
that. We disagree on that one.
Where the chips fall where they may, kind of thing. And I feel that way in part because I have more than one friend who, after they had an amniocentesis, was told that their baby likely had Down syndrome and that it was recommended that they abort. They did not. Neither of those children have Down syndrome. When these tests become 100% infallible, correct all the time, never wrong, maybe you'd have a different opinion, but I still don't believe that we should go around killing babies. That's how I feel about it. And it's sad and horrible and awful, and there are children born with terrible conditions all the time, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone or any child. But, you know, when you decide what's desirable and what's not, the limits get pushed. That's the nose under the camel's tent. It's, you know, I don't know if it's Denmark or Iceland that very proudly proclaims that they have eliminated people with Down syndrome in their culture because they abort babies to avoid the possibility of having any children who have Down syndrome in their culture. I think that's disgusting. That's eugenics. It's disgusting. People are born with different abilities. People are born with different challenges. People are born with different things. All of these people are human beings who have value in my world. So, you know, by the way, someone's deaf dog is deaf. He's perfectly happy. So now we're getting into that. By the way, Dave, this from the text line, many deaf people don't consider themselves to be handicapped and have chosen not to seek a remedy for their deafness. Somebody else pointed out, Mandy, use stem cell treatments to manipulate Mother Nature. I'm not making a baby with stem cell treatments. That's on me. That's my body, and that's medicine that I am consuming and using. I'm not using that to create another life. You know, I'm not messing around with the creation of life, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. I mean, you could make an argument that any medical treatment is manipulating Mother Nature, but if you're doing it to yourself, I don't see how that's remotely the same. We're talking about another human being. 303-713-8585. That's 303-713-8585. I don't understand the person who just sent con. I think that's for someone else. Let me get Ann from the ranch. Go ahead and throw her on the air for me, Coov. Hey, Ann, you are on KOA. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good topic. Just wanted to throw in that I think you both have valid points, but, you know, you got to let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, I struggled to have my second child and, you know, people have a hard time talking about miscarriages and all of that. And I was told, you know, you got to come down, you got to get the shots. And I was like, no, we're just going to let it go how it goes. And you can have multiple babies and you raise each of them similar, or we did, and they all turn out different.
Correct.
So I think you just have to embrace the fact that you're able to give life.
It is a miracle to be able to create a baby human. I fully mm-hmm. believe that. After going through it, I'm even more convinced that it's a miracle to be able to create a baby human. I think that's a good point, and there's no guarantees.
Nope.
You know, there's no guarantees in life. And here's the thing. Perhaps this child who grows up deaf at some point in the future would seek out treatment for his or her mm-hmm. deafness. And then what do you say as parents when they find out that they want their hearing back and they can't get it back? Do you look at your parents and say, why did you do this to me? I think there's a real possibility of that happening. And these parents are going to have to bear that responsibility if they choose it. They're going to have to look at their child and say, no, we wanted you to be deaf. So that's a conversation that they are going to have to, you know, figure out how to have in the future. And obviously they feel like they have an answer for it. But your point, Anne, about you can raise kids the same way with the same discipline, yep. with the same everything,
yep.
and they just go in different directions. It's because they're humans, not like
yep.
robots. You know, they're going to make decisions that we don't agree with, you know?
And that's what's beautiful about it. I look at both of my boys and I just am in awe of each of their talents, abilities, yeah. and who they are as humans. And I wouldn't have it any different way.
I agree wholeheartedly, Ann. Great call. Thank you. 303-713-8585. Let's get Patty before the break. Hello, Patty.
Hi, Mandy. So, you know, good grief. I just trust God in all of this, and I would have loved my child no matter what. I recently found out that I'm, you know, 50% Ashkenazi Jewish. And mm-hmm. so when my first son was born and me being adopted, you know, I had a lot of concerns. I didn't have any nursery records. I didn't know any family history or anything, and I couldn't get that. But, you know, I was just going to love that little dude who's now a very big dude, no matter what. And because of two pregnancies when I was 37 and 38, I had to have amnios just to ensure my health as well as the health of the babies. And, right. you know, the second was for twins. But that, you know, I don't agree with abortion either. And, you know, I mean, it could have provided us with some information to prepare. But, man, you know, what's Gaga say? You know, born that way? You know, can yeah. we all just be happy with the way that we are born?
Well, Ian, I don't disagree with you on that front, Patty, but I think this is more specifically, for me, this is an icky topic because it does feel like we're manipulating for a specific yeah. outcome, whether or not I agree with that outcome or not. I mean, if somebody said, yeah, we're going to engineer this baby and this baby's going to be a genius and incredibly good looking and speak 10 languages, that's very appealing, but I have to wonder what's left out in that engineering.
I totally disagree with that. And having an amnio for Tay-Sachs versus this hearing thing, and, you know, I wouldn't ever bridle my child that way. I know a friend whose parents are both deaf, and she and her siblings are not. And you know what? They just freaking made it work. Yeah. You know, you do what you got to do. You love your kids. You know, none of us are perfect. We all have faults and flaws, whether they're visible or not. And, you know, just embrace life. And there's so many people that would love to have a child that was, you know, yeah. with any type of disability.
Yeah.
Because their hearts are that big.
Yep. I appreciate the phone call as always. We'll continue this conversation after the break, but Susan Witkin is going to tell us what's coming up in her news. We've got a little itchy trick and suffered from premature jocularity on that one. The spots, oh no! And you can't take it back after that.
What's funny about it is you always end the same way, too.
Yeah, I'm consistent like that. I'm a creature
of
habit.
I think I would
get
it by now.
I'm a creature of habit. We're talking about today's question of the day. Dave, refresh the memories, and I'll give the phone number out, 303-713-8585. What is the question of the day, Dave?
Question today is, a deaf couple plans to have a baby by IVF so they can implant an embryo with genes that will ensure that their child will be deaf. Do you think this is wrong? Should it be illegal?
Now, Dave says it is wrong and it should be illegal, right? That's your position. I want to make
Correct.
Sure I got that
That's
right.
That's my position.
I think designer babies, unless you are working to eliminate a genetic disease with in vitro genetic CRISPR editing, which is happening now. Like, for instance, if you're African American and you have sickle cell anemia, and they can go in and with CRISPR gene editing, edit out the gene that would give your child sickle cell anemia, I think that's great. But as for being able to choose the characteristics of your child, I'm just against that. I'm just against it. But I don't see the same horror in a deaf couple making that choice that Dave does. And I think for me, because if you had two people who were both deaf, married to each other with a genetic congenital deafness, and they were almost assured that their child would be deaf and they had a baby anyway, would you be judgmental? You know, I realize it's a little bit different, but it's the same.
No, it's a lot different. It's day and night.
But they know they're going to have a baby.
They are making a conscious choice. It's and they're sure of what the result is going to be. And I think this is nothing short of child abuse, plain and simple.
Okay, 303-713-8585. Let me grab Mike in Loveland. He's hanging on. Hey, Mike, you're on KOA. What's on your mind?
But how do you really feel, Dave? Hi, Mandy.
Hello.
I don't know. I'll think a little more.
Dave's so wishy-washy. He's so wishy-washy all the time. Can't get him to commit. What you got, Mike?
So, how about a yes and a no?
A yes and a no, meaning yes.
It's wrong. Yes, it's wrong, but the libertarian in me doesn't want a law.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So beyond that, here's the discussion that I think applies. We so often forget principles. And the principle that applies to medicine, first, do no harm.
Right.
And this is a deliberate attempt to harm a baby's hearing.
Well, here's the thing.
Now, I don't know what it is.
Well, wait a minute. Choosing an embryo that you have had genetically tested that shows it's going to be deaf is not doing harm. It's just allowing that embryo to be brought to full term. They're choosing an embryo that they know is going to be deaf.
Okay.
So well, they're not manipulating. They're not doing like gene editing like I was just talking about. They are simply choosing the embryo that they believe is going to be deaf.
Well, if they're not doing any harm, then my point goes away.
Okay, good. So I let's do away with Mike. His point's stupid. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's
no,
a valid
his point
consideration.
Isn't stupid. He's stupid.
No, I think it's a valid consideration, Mike, because if they were going in and editing to cause harm, I would be with you 100%. That should be illegal.
Which is kind of where the moral wrongness goes. But do you know abortion wasn't illegal all through the 1800s and the 1900s or the 1800s?
Oh, I abortion has been legal and illegal, and it's been happening since the beginning of time. It's not not a recent occurrence. The morality of it.
Paul Harvey on that.
Well, I think that the morality of abortion is easier to have a moral position in an advanced economy. You know, if we lived in a destitute third world country where the burden of another child becomes life or death on a regular basis, then maybe there would be a moral equivalency there that I would be more open to. But we live in a civilized society where there are options if you don't want to raise a child. There are options available.
The reason I brought that up is only because law is different from morals.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Law has always been different from morals. And
slavery was legal.
Legislate morals like.
Mike's gone for some reason. Let me grab Julie. Mike just disappeared. Ding dong. Hi, Julie.
Hi there.
What's your take on it?
Well, I'm actually on leaning on Dave's side. The one thing that I think you forgot to mention in this, Dave, is that it's not, or at least from my position, it's not that I believe that being deaf is wrong or that there's any judgment toward it. It's a disability, if you will, someone's ability to hear. And as a parent, I would agree that is, you are invoking that disability. It doesn't lessen the parent's value of their life. It just says
absolutely
that
not.
You are taking that away from them.
Yeah, you know, I can see Dave's position. I there's no doubt about it. I've always defaulted back to my more libertarian roots that parents, to a certain extent, have the right to screw up your kids the way they see fit, you know, because if you don't believe that parents have the right to screw up their kids the way they see fit, then you believe that the state owns your children. And I don't believe the state owns my children, and I never will. And if you believe that we live in a free society where parents have the ability to screw up their kids the way they see fit, then if you're deaf and you want a deaf child, I am not one to step into that relationship.
There are exceptions to that idea, however.
Causing physical harm, yes.
I mean, like, you know, if a child has a disease, it's treatable, and they don't take them to the hospital and they say God will heal him, the government has to step in at that point.
Well, but government has not always stepped in at that point. Then you get into the argument of what if someone says, my child believes he or she is transgender and I don't want them to transition. And the government says, well, that's because you're a transphobic person. We're going to take your kid away from them and give them hormones and mutilating surgery. That's the flip side of that. That's where government does own your children. And I'm not ready to go there. And it's not like the parents are stabbing the kid in the ear to make them go deaf. This kid has the same condition the parents have. They're just allowing it to come to fruition. Shit, on the flip side of this, go ahead, Julie.
They're not allowing it to come to fruition. They are causing it to come to fruition.
No, they're bringing an embryo to full term. They're not damaging the embryo other than the natural deafness that occurred for whatever reason. They're just bringing this embryo to full term. Let me ask you this, Julie. On the flip side of this, if you're pregnant and find out your child is going to be deaf, do you terminate the pregnancy?
No, but we're talking about different things here. We're talking about them, and if they're in IVF, then they are selecting the embryo that is only selecting that embryo. I also don't believe it should be illegal. And I do believe it's wrong. I think that the parents are essentially invoking a disability and harm. And that doesn't mean that their life is any less valuable than someone who cannot hear. But to ensure that happens, at the very least, it's a grossly selfish.
I would agree with you that perhaps it's grossly selfish. I would agree that anytime someone wants to make life harder for their kid, I don't understand that. Somebody just texted in, it's more than a diff-ability than a disability. So looking at it as being differently abled is perhaps a way to go,
That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. It's a disability,
pure and simple. Yeah, and I think it's not saying that people who cannot hear are any less valuable. It's
absolutely
saying that's where that's the piece. It's not that we are saying that I'm saying. I think we're agreeing, Dave, that the parents want to have this. They're not worthy of a child who is like them, because
Well, let me throw this back at you by saying it's not that their life has less value, but at the same time, you're saying you're selfish and the parents are selfish for wanting this child to have the same affliction. You are implying that a person born deaf is somehow at such a disadvantage that their life is lesser than a child who is not born deaf. That is what you're saying, to be clear. You're not saying it explicitly, but by saying parents are wrong for choosing that, you are saying one is better than the other. There's no other way to spin that.
Yeah, hearing is better than not hearing. That's absolutely right.
Right. But that doesn't mean the person is less than.
No,
it's somebody who can't.
And bravo for the parents that are coping so well that they think their child should be the same, but they're horribly mistaken.
For making a child like them.
Right. But bravo for them for having wonderful lives and making up for a severe handicap.
You're saying that it would be a lesser situation if the child was deaf.
Yeah, it would be a lesser situation. Yeah. I don't want to be deaf. I prefer to hear, and I prefer my children to hear. It is. That's why it's called a handicap.
Well, it's called a disability now. It's not a handicap anymore.
Well, it is a handicap and a disability, but we're way late, aren't we?
I know. Julie, I appreciate the phone call, but now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. All right. Who's here? Who's playing today? Who do we have, Kuv?
We have Dragon and we have BK.
Dragon, BK, Kuv, Mandy, we're good to go. What's our word of the day?
Word of the day, a noun, and it is a plum, A-P-L-O-M-B, a plum.
Doing something with...
Noun.
With aplombs, with flash, with oh gosh, it's one of those words that I've used. No, it's... Dang it. BK, you want to take a shot?
Aptitude?
Say it again?
Nope.
Isn't it like one of those aptitude? Like
levels that you hang from the ceiling, make sure you get a nice straight line?
No, that's a plum. It's a plumb line. What is it, Dave?
It's self-confidence or assurance, especially in a demanding situation. Yeah. Like a clutch hitter with the bases loaded, two out shows great plumb as he hit his home run.
What is the tallest mountain in Europe? I did not know this until now.
Mount Vesuvius.
I'll just give you the answer. Mount Elbrus. Southwestern Russia, Mount Elbrus has twin peaks that both soar at more than 18,000 feet tall. It's covered by...
I thought that was in Asia. That's my bad. I was in Asia.
Sure. Whatever. Okay, what's our Jeopardy category, Dave?
Category for today is time.
Time.
These are all questions involving time. Here we go.
Who's got music in the background?
I do. I'm at a barbecue place around... Sorry, I'll go outside.
Okay,
There's speakers everywhere.
It was enacted in the United States to save energy in World War One.
Mandy?
But farmers for... Mandy.
What is daylight saving time?
I still
saving.
Know
no
you'd
S.
be the one to get that one.
Yep.
No S.
No S.
Actually, it is an S in the Jeopardy answer.
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
Next one. In military time, this time is rendered 1,900 hours.
Brandon. What is 7 o'clock p.m.? Yeah.
Correct. Okay, it's the second month of the year with exactly 30 days in it.
Mandy. What is March?
Wrong.
Oh, my God. Mandy, you idiot.
My birthday's March
31st. Backwards.
Brandon.
Such an idiot.
Brandon.
What is June?
Correct.
Yeah.
30
Thanks
days
for the time.
September,
Thanks
April,
for the time.
June.
Yeah. And yeah, I got it.
Next one. This type of year is also known as
Mandy?
A bisect. Yes.
What's a leap year?
Yes, a bisextile year. I just
of
want
course,
to make sure you get that clear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Finally, quick, it's the term for 1/1,000,000th of a second.
Brandon. What's a nanosecond?
Correct.
Dang,
well,
Brandon.
There you go.
Brandon brought his A game to this
In the nick of time before we had to get out for Alan JoJo.
Ha-ha, well played. We've got Big Al and JoJo coming up next. Tomorrow, we've got a baseball game early. We will jump in as soon as it gets done. We've got Thirsty Thursday. We're talking beer, wine, and shine. We got a little moonshine tomorrow. But right now, Big Al and JoJo are taking over. Keep it right here on KOA News Radio.